Picture this. You planned this cross-country for 3 weeks. You've got the charts, you've got the fuel numbers, you've got the whole thing dialed. You're 40 miles out from Ripon, riding the line into the busiest airport on the planet this week, and then the radio says it. The airport is closed, holding is in effect. Aircraft over Ripon expect delays. Now what that right there is the moment. That's the moment that separates a pilot who planned a route from a pilot who planned a flight. And today, that's what we're gonna fix. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Pattern, and you're listening to Traffic Pattern, the show where we take the stuff that scares student pilots and break it down into something you can actually use on your next flight. And this week, with EAA AirVenture in full swing up at Whitman Regional in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, there is no better time to talk about the one cross-country skill almost nobody practices enough. The diversion, not the route you planned, the route you didn't. Let's walk through this together. Before we go further, I want to say thank you to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones you can hold in your hand years later, and remember exactly what it cost you to earn them. That's AviationSoul.com. Okay? The diversion. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. When your instructor pulls the diversion on your cross-country, and they always do, it feels like a trick. You've been flying your beautiful magenta line, checkpoint to checkpoint, everything on schedule, and then they cover up your destination and say, the weather just went down, take me to your alternate. And your brain just kind of locks up, where am I? Which way do I turn? How far is it? Do I have the gas? And here's the thing. That is not a trick. That is the most real thing your instructor will ever do to you, because out here in the actual sky, the diversion is not a maneuver. It's the whole job. Airplanes divert every single day. Weather moves in, a destination goes below minimums, and airport closes. And this week at this one airport, thousands of pilots are going to face a version of that scenario in real time. Because Oshkosh, during AirVenture, will hold you out. It will. The controllers at Fisk are working an unbelievable stream of traffic, and when that stream backs up, they send airplanes into holding patterns over the lakes. And sometimes the field just stops accepting arrivals for a while. It's in the arrival procedure, it's expected. It is a normal, published, planned for part of flying into the show. The pilots who handle it well are the ones who decided what they were going to do about it before they ever left home. So let's build that skill. And we're going to build it the way the airman certification standards want you to build it, because diversions are right there in the cross-country section of the ACS. The examiner is going to make you do this on your check ride. Let's make sure you're the pilot who makes it look boring. Step 1, decide the divert before you need it. This is the part everybody skips. When you plan a cross-country, you plan a destination, and if you're a good student, you plan an alternate. But most people plan the alternate as a line on the chart and then never think about it again. That's a mistake. Your alternate is not a formality. It's a real airport you might actually land at today, so treat it like one before you launch. Know its runways, know its pattern altitude, know its frequency, know roughly how far it is from your destination, and which direction. Because when the diversion comes, you don't want to be reading fine print. You want to already know the shape of the place. For AirVenture specifically, the NOTAM does a lot of this thinking for you. The arrival procedure into Oshkosh names holding patterns, and it names places to go when the field is full. Fond du Lac, just to the south, becomes an overflow field during the show, running its own arrival procedure to take the pressure off Whitman. Fond du Lac, say it out loud a few times before you go, because you might be talking to it. The point is broader than any one airport, though. Wherever you're flying, the question you ask on the ground is simple. If I can't land where I'm going, where do I go instead, and have I actually looked at it? Answer that on the ground. And the diversion in the air becomes a turn, not a crisis. Step 2, when it happens, fly the airplane first. I know, you've heard it 1,000 times. Aviate, navigate, communicate. But watch what happens to a student the moment the destination gets taken away. The nose starts to wander. The altitude starts to drift. Their head's down in the chart, they're punching the box, and the one thing they're not doing is flying the airplane. So the first move in any diversion is not a calculation. It's a breath level. The wings, hold your altitude, pick a heading, any reasonable heading in the general direction of your alternate, and just point the airplane roughly the right way. You can refine it in a minute, right now, you just need the airplane pointed at the answer instead of wandering while you think. And in dense traffic, this matters even more, because when the field holds you out at Oshkosh, you're not alone up there. There are airplanes stacked around you doing the exact same math you are. So level, stabilize, and keep your eyes outside. Divide your attention. The chart can wait 3 seconds. The traffic cannot. Step 3. Turn toward it now, get the number later. This is the trick that unlocks the whole thing. And I wish somebody had drawn it for me on a napkin when I was a student. You do not need a perfect heading to start the turn. You need a good enough heading right now. Look at your position. Look at where the alternate is. And just estimate the direction. Is it off my right wing? Off to the south? Behind me and to the left? You don't need degrees yet. You need a direction. Turn the airplane that way immediately, and you have just started making progress toward the airport while your competitors are still heads down doing arithmetic. Every minute you spend fussing with the exact heading is a minute you're flying the wrong way or flying away from the field entirely. So turn first. Point the nose at the general spot on the horizon where you believe that airport lives. Then, and only then, start refining. Here's the rule of thumb for the refined heading, the one that keeps you from needing a calculator. Lay your finger on the chart from your position to the alternate. Compare that line to a line of longitude or to your course line, something you already know the direction of. Estimate the angle. You're not looking for pinpoint accuracy, you're looking for close enough to see the airport. Because once you can see it, the heading stops mattering. And if you've got a moving map, even better. But I want you to be honest with yourself. The examiner is going to want to see that you can do this with a chart and your thumb. Because someday the box will be dark and the airport will still need finding. The magenta line is a wonderful servant and a terrible master. Know how to do it without it. Step 4. Time and fuel. The two numbers that actually matter. Once you're turned and tracking, you need two answers. How long until I get there and do I have the gas to do it? For time, here's the field expedient method. You know your ground speed, roughly. You know the distance to the alternate, roughly, from your thumb on the chart. Distance divided by speed gives you time. If your alternate is 30 nautical miles away and you're making 120 knots over the ground, that's a quarter of an hour. 15 minutes, you don't need it to the second. You need it close enough to make a fuel decision. And fuel is the decision. This is where diversions get people into real trouble, and I want to be straight with you, because glossing over fuel is how pilots end up as accident reports. When you divert, you're spending gas you did not plan to spend. The alternate might be closer than your destination, in which case, great, you've got margin, but it might be farther. Or you might be sent into holding first, burning fuel while you go nowhere, so run the number honestly. Time to the alternate, times your fuel burn per hour gives you fuel required. Compare that to what's actually in the tanks right now, not what you took off with. And remember, the reserve under the regulations, day VFR, you need to plan to arrive with at least 30 minutes of fuel at normal cruise. At night, it's 45. That reserve is not a suggestion and it is not yours to spend. If diverting eats into it, you are not diverting to that airport, you're picking a closer one. For AirVenture, this is the whole ballgame. Pilots fly in from hundreds of miles away. They hit the arrival, and then they get put into a hold, around and around, over the lakes, burning fuel that was supposed to get them onto the ground. I have said it on this show before, and I'll say it again. Carry more gas than the plan requires when you're flying to the show. Land short and top off if you have to. The pilot with full tanks has options. The pilot running on flight plan minimums has a problem the moment the field holds him out. Step 5. Now you communicate. Notice where this comes in the list. Last, not because talking doesn't matter, but because the order is the whole point. Aviate, navigate, communicate. You've flown the airplane, you've turned toward the alternate, you've got your time and your fuel sorted. Now you tell somebody in normal cross-country flying. If you're talking to a controller, you let them know you're diverting and where. If you're on flight following, this is where that service pays for itself, because they can help you, and if things are getting tight, they can clear a path. At Oshkosh, the communication piece looks different, and you need to know this code before you go. The FISC arrival is often a listen and comply procedure. The controller talks, you rock your wings to acknowledge, and you do not key the mic. So when you decide to break off and divert, you do it in accordance with the procedure in the NOTAM, and you do it predictably. So the airplanes around you can see what you're doing. You don't just yank it around and dive for Fond du Lac, you follow the published way out. Predictability is a form of communication too. Maybe the most important one in that kind of traffic? Read that NOTAM. Read the whole thing. Know the holding patterns, know the bailout instructions, know where the procedure tells you to go if you can't get in. That document is the difference between a pilot who diverts smoothly and a pilot who becomes a hazard to everybody in the conga line. Now, let me put it all together with a scenario, because that's how this actually sticks. You're inbound to the show, you've done everything right. You crossed your en route checkpoints on time, you're over Ripon, you're on the railroad tracks toward Fisk, wings level, eyes outside, exactly like you rehearsed, and the word comes down. Fields holding, expect delay. Watch a well-prepared pilot handle this. First, nothing dramatic. Wings stay level. Altitude holds. Eyes stay outside on the traffic all around. Breathe. Then the decision, already made this morning on the ground. If I get held and my fuel gets tight, I'm going to Fond du Lac. That decision isn't being invented right now under pressure. It was made over coffee. So this pilot glances at the fuel, checks the clock, notes how long they can hold before the reserve gets involved. If the hold is short and the gas is good, fine. They hold. They wait their turn. They get into the show. But if the fuel math says the hold is eating into reserves, there's no agonizing. The plan already exists. Break off per the NOTAM, turn south, and there's the alternate. Already studied, already briefed, its runways and pattern already sitting in memory. A diversion that looks from the outside, completely calm, almost boring. That's the goal. Boring is the goal. Boring means prepared. And here's the part I really want you to take with you. Whether you're flying to Oshkosh this week or doing a training cross-country next Saturday in your home practice area, the diversion feels like the emergency. It isn't. The emergency is arriving at a place you can't land with no plan and no gas and no idea which way to turn. The diversion is the thing that prevents the emergency. It's not the failure of the flight. It's the flight working exactly the way a good pilot set it up to work. So practice it. Next time you're up with your instructor, or even solo in the practice area, pick a random airport off to one side and divert to it. Turn first, get the rough heading, run the time, run the fuel, find the field. Do it until it's a shrug instead of a scramble. Because the examiner is looking for exactly that on your check ride. The calm, the order of operations, the honest fuel number, and the sky is looking for it every day after. The material on the AirVenture arrival, the holding procedures, and Fond du Lac as an overflow field all come straight from the official EAA NOTAM, published for the show, and the fuel reserve numbers are right there in the federal regulations for anyone to read. Go read them yourself before you launch. That's not homework. That's just being the pilot you'd want your family flying with. You can find us at RadioHangar.com if you want more of these. I'll leave you with this. The best pilots I know aren't the ones who never have to change the plan. They're the ones who already knew what the new plan would be. Fly safe out there this week. Turn first, then figure out the heading. I'll see you next time.